Well, good evening. Great to see y'all here this evening, and those of us online, welcome. If you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing Revelation song with Holy, Holy, Holy.
Your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy are you, Lord.
Amen. Majestic is your name in all the earth. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The heavens declare your greatness. The oceans cry out to you. The mountains, they bow down before you. So I'll join with the earth and I'll give my praise to you. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The heavens declare your greatness. The oceans cry out to you. The mountains, they bow down before you. So I'll join with the earth and I'll sing. The heavens declare your greatness. The oceans cry out to you. The mountains, they bow down before you. So I'll join with the earth and I'll give my praise to you. I give my praise to you. You.
oceans cry out to you. The mountains, they bow down before you. So I'll join with the earth and I'll sing. The heavens declare your greatness. The oceans cry out to you. The mountains, they bow down before you. So I'll join with the earth and I'll give my praise to you. So I'll join with the earth and I'll give my praise to you. So I'll join with the earth and I'll give my praise to you. To you.
Amen. My Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Vainly they watch his bed, Jesus my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
Death cannot keep his prey. Jesus, my Savior, he tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord. From the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
Amen, praise the Lord. Anybody have a pick of him this evening? All right, well, praise the Lord.
Hello, there it is. Prayer needs, prayer requests. Okay, Miss Vicky. Pray for her general health, I guess. All right. And those struggling with addiction, we got Kevin, Stevie, Paul. There was another one. Anybody remember? Kenzie? There was another male. I can't remember. Kevin, Stevie, Paul, Kenzie. I thought there was somebody else. Huh? Was it Richard? I don't know. Well, the Lord knows. Amen. All right. What else? Any praises tonight? Yes, sir.
I'd be glad and honored to share this with you. I have two daughters. The older one has a family of two, three children. They like to travel. They like to go to the cabin. They like to go to West Texas.
Yeah.
But they also like to visit North Central Mississippi by now in North Jackson. But they have about 9 months in California, about 15 months later.
Obsessed with cattle. She wants to herd cattle and be around cattle. Yeah. Bunch them up, yeah. 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 Uh-huh. Wow. Amen. So safe travels. We're giving the... Okay. Have a Mississippi time. Amen, man. Herding cattle. All right. Well, Frank, that's a good praise, Frank. Amen. All right. Any other praises? All right.
I got a call this afternoon from a girl who used to teach here at the church.
Uh-huh.
Named Reagan. She called, "Mr. Ron, you need volunteers for PBS? That's a certainty."
Here.
I told her, "Be there and we'll find something."
Find you a spot.
Amen,
man. All right. Raven on VBS duty. VBS. All right, Raven Boyd on going to do the VBS. Outstanding. Other praises? Anybody else? Yeah, in the back. Okay.
Yeah, I got two here. One from Sharon Heibarger, praises that God is providing Kinsey the help she needs to overcome more than 10 years of addiction.
Okay.
And then from Loopy, praise the Lord for some of my neighbors reaching out to me about their kids coming to VBS.
Okay. Neighbors coming to VBS. All right, all right. Any other praises? Amen. All right. Mommy's recovering. Recovery and let's see here, mommy's recovering. Amen. All right, outstanding. Got that. And then anything else? Any other praises? All right. Any other prayer requests? Yeah, Gene? I got her down. Heart function has declined to 30 to 40%. Please pray for her kidney function to help her heart function. Amen. We got it, got it. All right, those of you with unspoken requests? All right. Unspoken. Jesus. All right. Anything else? Yes, sir. Baker family. All right. Got it. Miss Marilyn Dablin. That's right. All right, anybody else?
Got two.
All right, yes, sir.
One from Sharon Heibarger. For Kinsey, please continue to pray for recovery and
yep.
for family restoration. And then for Miss Loopy, prayer request for Robert and Colin for salvation and surrender for Robert's health, diabetes.
Okay. Give me those again, brother.
Yes, prayer request for Robert and Colin. For Colin?
Colin.
Colin, sorry, for salvation and surrender for Robert's health. And for Robert's health, his diabetes.
Okay.
That's Loopy.
And then senior salvation. And then what was the one before that?
From Sharon Heibarger for Kinsey. Please continue to pray for recovery and family restoration.
I got that one. Yeah. Okay. Amen.
And then, yeah, Loopy, prayer request for Robert and Colin for salvation and surrender and for Robert's health, his diabetes.
All right. Amen. Okay. Yes, sir. Uh-oh. Oh, no. Uh-oh. Amen, man. Too much salsa, huh? Yeah, amen. Don't want none of that. All right, y'all ready to pray it out? Yes, sir, Brother John. Pray for your children. Has a date been set? Has a date been set? All right. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity to bear these burdens and to lift up these praises. We're always thankful for that wonderful grace. And Lord, we're thankful for the victory over death, sin, and the devil. We get to sing that song, Up From the Grave He Arose. So Lord, what a glorious testimony that is about your power and your strength and how you saved us by defeating death, hell, and the devil. Thank you for your shed blood tonight. We're always thankful for our salvation. Thank you for this word that we have before us. May it lead, guide, and direct us as we try to go through it. Father God, we just praise you tonight for Frank's praise, his daughter and son-in-law and grandkids, safe travels back from their travels, having fun and doing what they like and then getting to come back home safe. We praise you for that. And then, Lord, we thank you for volunteers for VBS. And, Lord, we pray just specifically that that would go off great and be a safe VBS, be a good VBS. A lot of visitors on the property, Lord. We pray that some would even come back on Sunday and check things out. So, Lord, we just lift that situation up to you. But we do praise you for these volunteers that are coming to help. Lord, we thank you for these neighborhood kids and Loopy's neighborhood. We give you praise for them that are wanting to attend VBS. So, Lord, we lift that up to you and give you praise for that. We thank you for Sissy's parents, Lord. We thank you for her dad recovering and doing better. But, Lord, we pray for her mom. Just help her as she cares for her mom and be with her dad as he cares for his wife. And, Lord, we just pray a hedge of protection around that situation, around that home. And just watch over them, protect them, help them. Pray that nothing else would come against them. And, Lord, give them a break from some health issues for a while. Let them try to catch up a little bit. So we just give you the praise, Lord. Thank you for these doctors. Thank you for these procedures that we can have to give us quality of life. So we just praise you for that. Thank you for that. Lord, as we think about Sharon's oldest daughter tonight, 49 years old and still recovering from this heart attack a year ago, we pray for her heart function. We're praying for her kidney function, Lord, that it would come back up. And, Lord, as that comes back up, this heart will be doing better. And so, Lord, we just pray you be in the midst of that situation. Be with Sharon as she agonizes so many miles away. We pray that you would give her a peace that passes all understanding. And, Lord, we just pray that you would help her with any anxious thoughts that she might have about what's going on. So, Lord, we just lift that up. Pray for your healing hand upon Lisa's body and upon this heart. Pray you just see her through. Lord, we lift up Brother John and his stomach issues. I can certainly relate. And so, Lord, we pray for that. We pray healing for him. Lift up his back to you. And, Lord, pray you give him strength there and let that thing relax tonight, that back when he goes to bed. Pray there be no spasms or no severe pain. Just help that situation. Lord, we pray for Brother John's children and the loss of their mother. And we just pray you comfort them. You help them work through the grief. And Lord, that sense of loss that they have, we just pray you would fill that with your Holy Spirit, with your comfort, and just see them through, Lord. May they be an encouragement to each other. And Lord, just be with all the family. Pray for Brother Ron, the loss of his sister, and his other siblings, Lord. Just comfort them. Help them during their time of loss. Lord, as we continue to pray, we pray for Ronnie Vaculik and his health. Lord, his feet and the neuropathy. And Lord, we always pray for that pancreas and pray for its health. Pray that you might shrink those growths and just remove those from his body. We lift up Ronnie Holman to you tonight. We're praying for his cancer fight. Pray that you might help him get over this cancer, Lord. Remove this cancer from his body. Bring healing to his body, God. Give him a miracle of healing. We just lift old Ronnie Holman up to you tonight. Lord, we pray for those that are struggling with addictions. We lift up James and Kathy's son, Kevin. We pray for this friend of James's, his circle of friends, this Stevie. We lift Stevie up to you. We lift up Paul Qualls to you tonight. And we're praying for Kinsey, Lord. All of these struggling with addiction. We do pray that that Kinsey would continue on this road to recovery. We praise you and thank you that she's begun the steps to get help. And Lord, we pray you deliver her from addiction. And Lord, these other three guys, we just pray that you would get them to the same place, same spot, get them past it, get them through it, help them get on with their lives and be healthy contributors to society, Lord, and not all the time strung out. So, Lord, we just pray for these folks. Pray you help them. We lift up Miss Vicky to you tonight. We pray for her health. Lord, you know what she's struggling with, and we just pray you touch her body tonight. Those that had unspoken requests, Lord, we're thankful that we can bring them to you another service. And we just pray that, Lord, as we speak them to you silently, and as we lay them down, so to speak, at the foot of the cross, we're thankful that you receive them and that, Lord, you hear these unspoken requests. And Lord, we just pray for your comfort. We pray for your strength. Lord, we know we believe, but sometimes, Lord, help us with our unbelief. So, Lord, we just pray you encourage us up as we think about these unspoken requests. We lift up the Baker family to you tonight, Lord, and you know what needs to happen there. And we just pray that situation through. And, Lord, we just pray you be with Ryan and help him be a witness in the midst of that. And, Lord, thank you that we can lift those kinds of requests up. We lift up Miss Marilyn Davlin to you tonight. We're praying for her continued healing. Watch over her, Lord. Just get all that infection out of that leg and just let that thing continue to heal up. And we pray you bring her back as good as new, and that, Lord, she not have any long-term damage in that lower leg. We lift up Robert and Colin to you, Lord. We're praying for their salvation. Father God, we pray that they would get to that crossroad where they're faced with the gospel truth. They have to make a decision. Lord, we pray that they would decide right, that they would receive Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And Lord, their salvation would mean the salvation for other lost people that they know. And that, Lord, you would just begin a great work of saving people in that area, in that sphere of influence with those friends and those coworkers. So, Lord, we pray you do a mighty work in Robert Collins' life. Bring salvation to them. We pray for Robert's health. Lord, help him with his diabetes and his other health issues. But Lord, ultimately, we want to see Robert saved. Lord, as we think about other things tonight, we pray for these bus crash victims. Lord, just a horrific accident hitting a parked semi while trying to exit the highway. Lord, we pray you be with those families that lost loved ones and be with those families that have loved ones injured. And Lord, we just pray you watch over that situation, be in the midst of that. We continue to pray for those folks that have to work outside in this horrific heat. We pray that you would help their bodies adjust. Lord, help them stay on top of their hydration. And Lord, we pray that nobody get heat sick or heat stroke. Be with those folks that are still struggling without any kind of air conditioning. It's just got to be incredible to be inside their house right now. So, Lord, we pray you would give them what they need to withstand what they're going through. And, Lord, we pray that there would be neighbors, government agencies, different folks that would come and bring them some kind of air conditioning, whether it be one room or two rooms or whatever it be, some place they could go and get away from this heat. We are thankful for these cooling centers across the different counties. Thankful for that, Lord, and I pray people would use it, would not be ashamed, would just go and relax and get some cool air. We're thankful we have AC here tonight. And Lord, we just pray you be with us in the midst of this more adult Bible study as we take on a delicate topic as we go through Leviticus 18. But Lord, we pray you lead us and guide us. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right, well, let's commence here to getting after it. Oh, my goodness, will that go back in there? Oh, come on now. All right. Well, I had to break out my old college Bible. I don't think I've been in this Bible. It's been years, but it's a good Bible. I haven't met a bad Bible. Kind of like them all. Amen. Some of you have this translation. It's NIV. New International Version, not to be confused with the NIRV, which is the New Revised Version. I kind of warn people away from that, as it messes with the gender and the masculinity of God the Father, and kind of removes that. So I really don't, not in that kind of school of thought that God was some kind of a it. He, God the Father, he's a he, right? So if you have a copy of God's Word, this may be a little bit different to you. I think Ronnie Vaculate carries it. Ronnie, you still carrying NIV? So he'll be on the same page with me tonight. The rest of you, you just have to kind of listen and kind of see how it lines up with your translation. But I'm going to begin reading here, as I said I would, Leviticus chapter 18, beginning in verse 6. And then we'll review a little bit after I read the passage, and we'll continue on with our series of messages on this Leviticus 18. Have you found it? Leviticus 18, beginning in verse 6, it says, "No one is to approach any close relative to have sexual relations. I am the Lord." And so, you know, you see the adult nature of what we're talking about tonight. "Do not dishonor your father by having sexual relations with your mother. She's your mother. Do not have relations with her. Do not have sexual relations with your father's wife. That would dishonor your father. Do not have sexual relations with your sister, either your father's daughter or your mother's daughter, whether she was born in the same home or elsewhere. Do not have sexual relations with your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter. That would dishonor you. Do not have sexual relations with your daughter of your father's wife, born to your father. She is your sister. Do not have sexual relations with your father's sister. She is your father's close relative. Do not have sexual relations with your mother's sister, because she is your mother's close relative. Do not dishonor your father's brother by approaching his wife to have sexual relations. She is your aunt. Do not have sexual relations with your daughter-in-law. She's your son's wife. Do not have relations with her. Do not have sexual relations with your brother's wife. That would dishonor your brother. Do not have sexual relations with both a woman and her daughter. Do not have sexual relations with either her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter. They are her close relatives. That is wickedness. Do not take your wife's sister as a rival wife and have sexual relations with her while your wife is living. Do not approach a woman to have sexual relations during the uncleanliness of her monthly period. Do not have sexual relations with your neighbor's wife and defile yourself with her. Do not give any of your children to be sacrificed to Molech, for you must not profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Do not lie with a man as one lies with a woman. That is detestable. Do not have sexual relations with an animal and defile yourself with it. A woman must not present herself to an animal to have sexual relations with it. That is a perversion. Do not defile yourselves in any of these ways, because this is how the nations that I'm going to drive out before you became defiled. Even the land was defiled, so I punished it for its sin, and the land vomited out its inhabitants. But you must keep my decrees and my laws, the native-born and the aliens living among you. You must not do any of these detestable things." All right? A few more verses. "For all these things were done by the people who lived in the land before you, and the land became defiled, and if you defile the land, it will vomit you out as it vomited out the nations that were before you. Everyone who does any of these detestable things, such persons must be cut off from their people." Now, as we were closing it out last time, we talked about what is the background of all this, and we said we can better understand Leviticus chapter 18 by understanding what the ancient Israelite view of sexual intercourse was underneath the Torah. Remember, we talked about that. In God's eyes, that is an act of marriage. That was the ceremony, all right? Having sexual intercourse was the ceremony for marriage. So we asked the question, what is one flesh? One flesh is not an emotional bond. One flesh is a covenant. It's a physical covenant between two people participating in the act of sex and God. A lot of people think that they came up with that. You know, no, you didn't come up with that. God designed that and gave that to man and woman, right? He created male and female, right? That they might become one. That's God's deal. Now, we began this particular study on the remainder of Leviticus 18, 6 through 29, by saying this passage has a very simple structure and message. As we were unpacking this and introducing it last time, we said this extended passage's intent is to define the boundaries of godly human sexual relations. Remember, we spent all of those Bible studies talking about that God is sovereign and that God is in control and that God has the right to do this, has a right to do that. Well, now he's doing what he has the right to do, and he's setting the boundaries. That's where we're at. So when it comes to sexual relationships, we said there are three of them. Three of what? Three boundaries. We're going to call them the inner boundary. We're going to call them the middle boundary. And then finally, we're going to call them the outer boundaries of godly sexuality. The verses 6 through 18 define the inner boundary, prohibiting sexual relationships with close relatives. Verses 19 and 20 define the middle boundary, which limits sexual relations within marriage and prohibits them outside marriage. And then verses 21 through 23 define the outer boundary, and that is of unnatural sexual relations. Verses 24 through 29 tell us about God's judgment upon a nation that crosses those boundaries. Got it? Amen? So the inner boundary of godly sexuality, that's where we're going to pick it up tonight as we've introduced the passage and kind of set the stage and talked about the one flesh and all of that stuff, God's covenant. By understanding the close association between sexual intercourse and marriage, the diverse and complex family makeups, and the principle of one flesh, we can better understand Leviticus 18. Remember, back here in the Old Testament, polygamy was a thing, and concubines were a thing, and so we talked about how a home could be real, the relationships in a home could be really, really complicated, okay? So that's kind of what's going on. So in many of these cases, as we go through them, we're talking about the modern equivalent. Hey, somebody's wanting to get in back there. I don't know. We're talking about the modern equivalent of incest. Right, we know that's a taboo thing in our culture, in most civilized places. Incest is kind of a taboo thing. A question that one might ask is whether the first section discusses incest in the modern secretive, oppressive sense, or does it tell the Israelite who they cannot marry? And best I can tell in studying this in detail, I believe the answer is both. I believe the answer is both. Now, as I go through it here with you tonight and then Sunday evening, we won't do this again on Wednesday because we'll be in Vacation Bible School, but I'm going to defer discussing abusive forms of incest until later in our study. But given the liberal marriage relationships in ancient Israel, if your father dies, for example, or divorces your mother, and she is alone, a son might have the question, can he marry her? Well, we would say, yuck, that's gross. No, right? But if you've received her, Old Testament times, you've received her into your home for support and protection, are sexual relations with her appropriate as with your wives and concubines? Well, given the broad scope of sexual relationships within the family in Israel, that's not an unnatural question that they would have had. They would have had that question would have come up. In fact, different ancient cultures gave different answers to questions like these. The Persians, for example, encouraged unions with mothers, daughters, and sisters as having special merit in the eyes of their pagan gods. However, when it comes to Yahweh, when it comes to the one true God, the answer for them and the answer for us is a big no. Amen? Now, I'm going to go down through these verses. I hope you'll follow along with me. We'll take each verse and try to get the most out of it and try to understand the relationship the Lord is trying to make off limits to family members. And I'm going to give the verse. I'm going to give it followed by the potential lawbreakers. And then the punishment or the penalty will be found in chapter 20, verse 11, okay? Or chapter 20, verse 14, or chapter 20, verse 17, or chapter 20, verse 12. The punishment phase comes a little bit later and where we're at in Leviticus 18. So are you still with me? All right, so we're in Leviticus chapter 18, and we're going to kick it off here. And we'll go as far as we can tonight. Verse 7, all right? Verse 7 says, in this New International Version I'm reading, because it really makes it clear. It says, do not dishonor your father by having sexual relations with your mother. She's your mother. Do not have relations with her. That's an easy one. Verse 7 is talking about a mother and a son, okay? And that's prohibited. What happens if they cross that line? If you'll take your Bibles and turn to chapter 20, and I'll just have to put me a little bookmark in here because we're going to be turning back quite a bit. Chapter 20, at verse 11, it says, if a man sleeps with his father's wife, he has dishonored his father. Both the man and the woman must be put to death. Their blood will be on their heads. All right? Now, we're looking at verse 8 as we go down this. It says, do not have sexual relations with your father's wife. That would dishonor your father. Well, I thought we just read that. What's going on now? Well, now we're talking about stepmother and son. Stepmother and son. Same deal. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 11. As I get through all of these, we'll get to more of a little explanation about what we were talking about. But let's try to work through these as quickly as we can. Verse 9. All right, still with me on verse 9? Do not have sexual relations with your sister, either your father's daughter or your mother's daughter, whether she was born in the same home or elsewhere. We're talking about brother and sister. We're talking about brother and maternal half-sister. That's what we're talking about. And the consequence is chapter 20, verse 17. If a man marries his sister, the daughter of either his father or his mother, and they have sexual relations, it is a disgrace. They must be cut off before the eyes of their people. He has dishonored his sister, and he will be held responsible. All right, and then if we get to verse 10, do not have sexual relations with your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter. That would dishonor you. That's a father and a granddaughter, right? And so, wow, that's really weird, man. Those were some things going on. We're in chapter 20, verse 14, I believe. Yeah, that's it, 20:14. If a man marries both a woman and her mother, it is wicked. Both he and they must be burned in the fire so that no wickedness will be among you. Verse 11, do not have sexual relations with the daughter of your father's wife born to your father. She is your sister. That's a brother and a paternal half-sister. Cut off, chapter 20, verse 17. We've read that passage. You kind of can glance at it and see it. If a man marries a sister, we've already read it. Verse 12, do not have sexual relations with your father's sister. She is your father's close relative. We're talking about a nephew and an aunt, father's sister. Barrenness is the... And this is what I didn't get done, and I apologize. I'll try to have it done by next time. But I did some research on how is the consequence of barrenness carried out. I mean, you know, yeah, you're burned or you're ejected from the group, you're cut off. But how did they carry out barrenness? I'm assuming they castrated the male. I don't know. But I'm trying to do some research on that and figure out what was going on there. But verse 20 says, if a man sleeps with his aunt, he has dishonored his uncle. They will be held responsible. They will die childless. So there's a barrenness proponent there going on. And then verse 13, do not have sexual relations with your mother's sister because she's your mother's close relative. Again, it's a nephew and an aunt, the mother's sister, not the father's sister, as the previous verse. And it's barrenness again in chapter 20, verse 20. Verse 14, it again, is nephew and an aunt, wife of father's brother. And the same consequence, we've already read barrenness, chapter 20, verse 20. Verse 15, we pick it up. Do not have sexual relations with your daughter-in-law. She's your son's wife. Do not have relations with her. That's a father and daughter-in-law. That is death, chapter 20. Verse 12, I don't think we've read that one yet. Let's take 20:12 right quick. If a man sleeps with his daughter-in-law, both of them must be put to death. What they have done is a perversion. Their blood will be on their own heads. All right? And then as we continue on, verse 16, do not have sexual relations with your brother's wife. That would dishonor your brother. Brother and sister-in-law we're talking about. Barrenness again, chapter 20, not verse 20, but chapter 20, verse 21. If a man marries his brother's wife, it's an act of impurity. He has dishonored his brother. They will be childless, all right? And then verse 17, do not have sexual relations with both a woman and her daughter. Kind of a lengthy verse here. Do not have sexual relations with either her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter. They are her close relatives. That is wickedness. Verse 17 is dealing with a father and a stepdaughter, or a father and a step-granddaughter, or a husband and a mother-in-law. And for those three cases, you get chapter 20, verse 14. If a man marries both a woman and her mother, it is wicked. Both he and they must be burned in the fire, so that no wickedness will be among you. And then we get to verse 18, which is kind of odd, but here it is. Do not take your wife's sister as a rival wife and have sexual relations with her while your wife is living. And when we look through chapter 20, there's just nothing there. No consequence for that. And we'll kind of key on that as we go through this. Now, as we compare the first prohibition in verse 7, mother and son, with the last prohibition in verse 18, husband and sister-in-law, a mother and son relationship is much closer emotionally and physically than a husband and a sister-in-law. There was no closer, verifiable blood relationship in the ancient world than a mother and the children that she bore. So in the context of close relative, mother and son had the closest possible relationship, whereas a husband and his wife's sister had the least closest relationship. Notice then that as you go down the list we've covered, the relationships become less and less close. Okay, there's kind of a progression. Now, for those that have knowledge, you've studied perhaps other religions, or you took a course in college, or maybe in high school, I don't know. For those that have a knowledge of other ancient cultures, you may be wondering, why is this list different from similar lists I've seen across the years in my studies? Why is this different from similar lists in other ancient cultures? I submit to you this, that this list of prohibition is a logical extension, going back to what we covered last time, of what? Of becoming one flesh. God takes that serious. Yes, yes? Amen. All right. So, I submit to you this list of prohibitions, a logical extension of becoming one flesh through the act of sexual intercourse. Now, for example, verse 18 prohibits that man from marrying his sister-in-law. There's no genetic reason for this, right? It's a sister-in-law. I'm assuming a culture, the Old Testament Israelite culture that permits multiple wives. But if Bob is one flesh with Clarice and Kara, her sister, that's as good as a blood sister in the eyes of God, because those two have become what? One flesh. Right. See it? So here then is how the one flesh principle applies through that list that we just went through of prohibitions. Verse 7 says you cannot marry your own mother. The restriction continues to be obvious even in our own day. Anybody ever heard of that? We just had the news story about the little guy who's been missing for 8 years, 15 years old. Mama reported her boy missing. He wasn't missing at all. She had just moved him into the bedroom and put him in the place of her husband, right? But we hear that and it makes us cringe, doesn't it? She's been doing that to that boy for 8 years. She's damaged him emotionally. She's damaged him psychologically. It's going to take a long time for that kid to work through all that. I mean, he's not a kid anymore. But you understand what I'm saying? It's kind of cringeworthy. Am I the only one that cringes? Anybody else cringe over that? Right? Verse 8 says you cannot marry your father's wife. Now, for this verse to say anything different than verse 7, it must mean a wife other than your mother, and it is. It's talking about a stepmother. It's worth asking, since there's no genetic closeness between a stepmother and a stepson, why is this relationship second only to a natural mother and her son? It is because your father is one flesh with your mother and his other wives, and you are to honor him by honoring them, right? Now, we believe in honoring our parents, don't we? Right? The Bible talks about what? You do that, your days will be what? Longer than shorter, amen? All right, so that's a good thing. You want to honor them right there, all right? Verse 9 says you cannot marry your own sister or half-sister born to your mother. To discriminate between verse 9, father's daughter or mother's daughter, and verse 11, daughter of your father's wife born to your father, means verse 9 applies to sisters related to you through your mother, and verse 11 applies to sisters related to you only through your father. Now, I would suggest that this is so because of the certainty of blood relatedness through the mother. With the father, this is not always the case. Verse 10 says you cannot marry your granddaughter. Again, that would be cringeworthy if we were to hear that today. This question could legitimately arise, though, in the Old Testament if your son and his wife were killed and you began caring for their children. All right? Old Testament times. There's no CPS, folks. There's nothing. There's no services. There's just the family, right? The extended family. Verses 12 through 14 deal with the three ways a woman can be your aunt. All right? The principle of one flesh applies to verse 14, which refers to an aunt who becomes one flesh with your father's brother. Verse 15 deals with a father and daughter-in-law. This is the inverse of verse 8. It's getting complicated, I know, which prohibits the son from marrying his stepmother. Now, it's not as serious in terms of close relative because the commandment to honor your father and mother does not apply. But clearly the notion of one flesh applies, and that's the whole point of all this, one flesh. Until the son marries a girl, it would be possible for the father to marry her. But once the son has married her, the two are one flesh, and she's off limits. Verse 16 also stems from the principle of one flesh. You cannot marry your brother's wife. However, caveat, exception. However, there is an important exception to this stated in Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 5 and 6. It says, when brothers live together and one of them dies and has no son, the wife of the deceased shall not be married outside the family to a strange man. Her husband's brother shall go into her and take her to himself as wife and perform the duty of a husband's brother to her. It shall be that the firstborn whom she bears shall assume the name of his dead brother so that his name will not be blotted out from Israel. So that's how that last one all kind of makes sense with God's Word. Verse 17 says you cannot marry a girl and her mother. If you marry a woman who has children by a previous marriage, you may not marry her daughter or her granddaughter. By becoming one flesh with your wife, your children or her children and children's children become your own. One flesh again, yes? Verse 18 says you cannot marry your wife's sister while your wife is still alive. This close relative relationship is at the fringe of the inner boundary and has more to do with the feelings of the two sisters, how they must compete for the attention of the same husband. And we see illustration of this in our own Bibles. The kind of distress that can occur is illustrated by the competition between who? Leah and Rachel, who were sisters that married the patriarch Jacob. Now, as I close it out tonight, I want to make an observation, just one observation tonight, and then when we get to Sunday night, we'll review, and I'll attempt to make a few more observations on what we've covered so far. First observation, here it is. The close relative laws here that we just looked at, detailed, aren't they? I mean, aren't they detailed? I mean, my soul, it crosses all the T's and dots all the I's. I mean, you come away from this and you may be a little confused, but if you go back and look at it, let it kind of soak in, it'll make sense to you and you just say, man, God kind of thought everything, didn't he, here? Yeah, he really did. The first observation, the close relative laws here are the most detailed and severely punished of all similar laws in ancient times. What's the deal? Why so severely punished? This is significant because a nation's laws will protect what its people consider important. Always has, it always will. The law of the Lord tells us by its exactness and severity what He considers most important. And from this section of Scripture, we must conclude that the Lord values the family. Yes? A good, God-centered, functioning family. He really, really likes that. He really wants to protect that. And at the heart of that thing is that one flesh principle. That's the key to it. He created them male and female, right? So that they might come together and be one flesh and do what? Produce godly offspring. To do what? To bring glory and honor to His name. To do what? To repeat the cycle. To do what? Until He comes back. Amen? It's all about bringing God the glory. Amen, amen? All right. Well, thank you for listening. And thank you for absorbing that. If you have any questions, I'll take them after the prayer. I'll try to help you. All right, our Heavenly Father, we thank You for tonight. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You for our friends and our fellow church members online with us tonight. We're so thankful for their presence with us here. Lord, it's difficult for them to sometimes get their prayer needs to us, to type it in, Lord, to figure out where to put it in the chat. But Lord, we pray for our online folks that are with us tonight. We pray that You help them where they're struggling. You just keep them encouraged. And Lord, we're just thankful that they're able to be a part of us through the live stream. So Lord, bless them. Thank You that they were with us tonight. And thank You for these that have come out. And Lord, we continue to pray for VBS next Wednesday night. We pray that it be just an anointed time of sharing Bible stories and Bible truth with kids in the community. Lord, I pray that their little hearts and minds are open to receive the truth. And Lord, we pray for the parents that as the kids go home and talk it up and say who they met and who their teacher is and all that stuff, that it would be a blessing to the families that are touched by the VBS. Lord, may it just be an encouragement to them. Thank You for Vacation Bible School. It's been a staple of churches for a long, long time. Lord, we give You the glory and the honor for it, being able to touch little hearts and little lives as they come on the campus. So we praise You for that. We thank You for that. Give us safety tonight as we depart this place. Watch over us, Lord, and may we continue to be faithful, to be in Your Word, be faithful in prayer, and Lord, just seek to bring glory and honor to Your name. Help us live the Word, Lord. Help us. We don't want to hide the Word. We want that Word out. We want it to come out of our countenance. We want it to come out in our speech and, Lord, in our actions. And, Lord, when we have opportunity to share that gospel with somebody, we want to hit that Romans road and just take them through it, that they need to understand they're sinners and that because they're sinners, God took care of that sin and they can receive Christ as their Savior. So, Lord, may that always be just tucked away right here in the back of our minds, ready to go. We thank You, Lord, for those verses in the book of Romans to bring somebody to salvation. It's in Your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. All right, you're dismissed. Whoa, all right.